Are you guys glad to be in the house of God? I am glad that you're here. You know why? Because Satan fought you this morning and you won. Actually, the grace of God inside of you, that superpower that's inside of you, the Holy Spirit that's inside of you won. And you submitted to that spirit and you let him move through you. And that's why you're here today and God honors you today. This week, God spoke to me and said, get ready, there's going to be 100 kids in our kids' church, all right? Remember like 4 years ago I told you there's going to be tons of babies here? We won't know what to do with. Well, it's actually happening. It's like every other woman is pregnant in this church, okay? And if you're not, you're going to be here. If you're married, of course. Some of you are not, but we're working on that. But the Lord spoke to me. He says, get ready because there's going to be so many kids. You got to be ready. We got to give props to our kids' church directors and teachers because they're doing so much. We have 5 groups of kids on every Sunday. Here you just saw 2. We used to fit them in like half a line. Then it was 1 line. Now it's like 2 lines and they're coming and coming and coming. And so get ready because that means God is entrusting our church with children. And that means we have to train them in the way that they should go. And that also means that we have to help the parents know the Bible so the parents can teach their children as well. A lot of our kids don't know that there's heaven and hell when they die. They believe in reincarnation. And I'm like, how long have you been in church? What is Jesus for then if there's reincarnation? You know, so we have a lot of work to do. It's our job as parents. And I believe you're doing a great job because you are bringing them to the house of God, where they will hear the word of God, where you will hear the word of God. You know, church is like school. You learn, and then you pass on that knowledge and information. We are in a series called Under Construction, and I'm going to take a little detour, okay? You know, when there's construction, it's okay to take a detour, all right? So I was going to preach a message called Debt Free, and I will still do that next week. It's already, but this week I'm going to preach about honoring your Father, okay, honoring. And so that's my message to you today. Bible says this, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I believe there's 2 types of deliverances that can happen in the life of a person, from drug addiction, from alcohol, from anger, from all these things. There's 2 ways you can get delivered. Way number 1 is miraculous deliverance. When somebody lays their hands on you, and boom, you're set free. Now, that happens sometimes, but if many of you know, it doesn't happen all the time, and it doesn't happen a lot for some reason. In my ministry, I've noticed there's 2 types. And the easy way to get delivered, and that's why we all love that way to be delivered, is we want to come to the front, and Pastor lay his hands on us, and we go, yeah, I'm set free of drugs. And that happens, don't get me wrong, and I love that kind of deliverance. But for some reason, God doesn't choose to deliver most people. Maybe 10, 15% get delivered that way. But a lot of people also, there's a second way to get delivered. And Bible says, you shall know the truth. Know it. The word know means also when Bible says Adam and Eve had a relationship and Adam knew Eve and she conceived. It's a deeper knowledge. It's not just I know it with my mind. Because devil knows the truth with his mind. He knows the word. A lot of atheists on Facebook know the truth and Bible verses, but they don't know it. They have the knowledge of it, and knowledge puffs up, but the truth. And Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall deliver you. And so I believe today the truth will be preached, and deliverance will happen. I remember preaching a message, and I saw a young woman get delivered from whatever it was that was holding her back, and it was through the preaching. Did you know when Jesus would preach, Jesus didn't go and look for demon-possessed people. Did you know that? He didn't go looking for the crazies, cray-cray. He didn't go after cray-cray, right? He would come into a synagogue, Bible says, and he would preach the message. And as he would be preaching, a man would just go crazy, start yelling at Jesus, saying, who are you? What are you doing here, Son of God? Why have you come to torment us? Leave us alone, the Holy One of God. Jesus didn't touch him. Jesus like, just shut up and sit there in the corner. But the heat of the Holy Spirit was so strong. The truth was being explained and preached by the truth himself. so much where people who had different things they needed to be delivered from, you see what I'm saying? They couldn't hide their secret. They had to get up and get set free. And then Jesus would deal. You remember Legion, the man who was possessed with Legion? Jesus didn't go looking for him. Jesus was just trying to get a break from crowds. He goes to the other side of the Sea of Galilee on a boat. And when he gets there, this cray, 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 cray guy comes and says, "What do you want from me?" And Jesus says, "Who are you?" And he says, "Oh, I'm Legion, because there's many of us." And Jesus says, "Get out of him." And the demon says, "But where do I go? Can I go into those pigs there?" Fine, go into the pigs. They're filthy anyways. Bacon is good though. So there's two ways of deliverance. There's laying of hands deliverance, and there's truth. And for most of us, we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. I think that's going to be my phrase from now on. When I start my message, I will say, you shall know the truth, and you got to say, and the truth shall set us free. Let's open Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 3. It says this, "Children, obey your parents, because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. Honor," say honor, "your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise." Does anybody know what commandment he's talking about? Commandment number, out of 10 commandments, commandment number 5, okay, is honor your father and mother. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on the earth. That's the only commandment, number 5, that makes this promise. The rest of them, just commandments. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. You shall have no other gods before me, you know. Honor your father and mother comes with a promise. Okay? What is that promise? Let's read it again. Things will go well for you and you will have a long life on the earth. Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. So Malachi 4, 5, 6. It goes like this. "Look, I'm sending you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord arrives. His preaching will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse." This is God. The land with a curse. God assigned a commandment to his people, and we know that his commandments are not to limit us, but to free us. His commandments are to protect us and not to bind us. So this commandment, and it's so big that the last verse in Old Testament, this is the last verse, the last word in the Old Testament is curse. Did you know that? The last word in the Old Testament is curse. "His preaching will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse." Wow, that's a serious thing. Why did you guys, God wrote that in the last words? That's important. There's no goodbye. There's nothing. Just if the children don't turn to fathers and fathers don't turn to children, curse. If the fathers don't turn to their children, curse. If the children don't turn to their fathers, curse. What's happening in our nation today is crazy. We're going nuts. This past week, this hurts my heart, a crazy kid came to the church, brought a big gun, and shot 9 brothers and sisters of mine. Those are my brothers and sisters. We are the body of Christ. We're brothers. Jesus says, call yourselves brothers. Crazy things are happening in our nation. Shootings, police shooting. I mean, people are shooting one another. Tell me we don't experience a curse in our nation today. The racial divide is so huge. Everybody's hating one another. Media is dividing people between white and black and brown and yellow. And we're all divided. Where we are all one. Our grandparents are Adam and Eve. And I'm so glad that New Life Church is a multiracial church. I'm so glad that you have accepted a pastor with an accent who wasn't born here. Many people came through here, but they're like, no, I'm going to find somebody that's like me. You said that there's something different about this group of people. And I'm not flattering you. I'm just saying that I'm in awe of that. I'm like, God, really? Anyway, so let me get back into the message. Today we're celebrating fathers. Father's Day. We honor our dads. I want to remind you how important it is to honor your father and mother. And what the Bible says about honoring father and mother. Mark Twain, how many of you know him, said this: when I was a boy of 14 years old, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21 years old, I was astonished of how much he had learned in 7 years. That's most of us, isn't it? Man, I thought of my dad so low. Mom, I respected, but dad, oh man, when I was 14... I feared my mom. Yeah, you still fear my mom. But today, I love spending time with my father. I learn to learn from his wisdom. I actually wait for him to say a phrase so I can hold on to, you know. Now, before I go deeper into this message, allow me to say a word for those who this day has a painful experience when it comes to father. Because God meant for fathers to be a positive thing. It nurturing, loving, wholesome thing. But for many of us, when it comes to a father, it brings painful, brings negative emotions, brings up bitterness and unforgiveness when it comes to our father. Maybe your father was not there. He was absent in your life. And today when I talk about honoring your father, you're like, Pastor, you're crazy. There's no way. He was a deadbeat loser. Okay? That's maybe your feeling today, and I hope I can change your mind a little bit at the end. Maybe he was abusive. Maybe he was a drunk, physically, emotionally, verbally, and maybe even sexually abusive. And so today when I'm talking about father, you have bad memories of your father. But let me tell you that not all fathers are bad. And if your earthly father was bad, the Bible says God is a father to the fatherless. So even if one father was not there for you, you still have another father that you need to honor. I kind of went on Google and got a few phrases that dads say to kind of lighten up the mood a little bit. Because for some of you, it's hard. And we live in a nation where a lot of kids are living without their father. So I just want to say the things that fathers do say. This is going to hurt me more than you. Okay? Quiet, I'm watching the game. Don't forget to check the oil. Bring back all change. How should I know? Ask your mother. I'm not made of money. Or money does not grow on trees. Right? When I was your age, I walked 5 miles to school each day. It was uphill both ways. You're going and you will have fun. Who's paying the bills around here anyway? If you break your leg, don't come running to me. Don't put your feet on the furniture. Your mother will kill you. Get down before you kill yourself. On second thought, go ahead. Quit playing with your food. Be quiet. Can you see I'm trying to think? Why? Because I said so. If you don't quit, that I'm going to call your mother. You better get that junk picked up before your mother comes here. Just wait till you have kids of your own. I was not asleep. I was just resting my eyes. What did your father say to you? Any cool phrases? Turn off the lights, yes? That was popular. That was my mom, actually. My dad didn't care. I loved him for that. My dad used to say this: easier to change an oil than to change an engine. That was after my brother said that he was putting oil in my dad's old van that was leaking oil. Well, actually, he said, Dad, it's always full. I don't know what you're talking about. After engine blew up, my dad went to check. He looked. He says, it's dry in here. Where were you putting oil? He said, right here, Dad. So he opens the steering fluid, and that's where he was putting oil. Okay. My dad used to say this, and I'm going to say it in Ukrainian, and then I'm going to try to interpret it. Бери побольше, бросай подальше. What that means is, scoop more and throw further. Okay, it's a saying. If when I didn't want to do homework and I was doing bad in school, he said, this is what's waiting for you. Scoop more and throw further. He was a miner. That's what they did. He says, if you don't go to school, That's what they used to yell. Supervisors used to yell to them, grab more, a scoop more, throw further. And that's what he used to say to me. That's the words I remember from my dad. And obviously, my dad is a hugger. So he loves to hug trees. No, he loves to hug his kids. My dad always, even to this day, I'm 36 years old. My dad still comes and hugs me every single day. The older I got, the more I enjoy spending time with him. We go fishing, and that's where we talk and blab and catch fish. And I seem to catch more fish than him. But because I'm a good son, I'm bragging a little bit. I give him the fishing pole and says, Dad, here, pull it out. I don't want to get up. Don't I do that, Eli? Sometimes, okay. All right, let's keep going. Let's keep going. How do you honor an abusive father? How do you honor an abusive father? Well, Bible doesn't say honor only the good, godly man, fathers. Bible says honor your father and your mother. I'm going to give you five ways you can honor your abusive father, absent father, a drunk alcoholic father, a drug addictive, a running around type of father, a wife beating father. Pray for him. Number one, pray for him. Bible says pray for your enemies, love your enemies. If you are to love your enemies, you're to love your father. Actually, did you know the Bible never says to love your father? It says honor your father. But I assume that Bible assumed that we are to love our fathers. Okay, so pray for him. Maybe he's walking away from the Lord. Maybe he doesn't know any better. Maybe he's mentally sick. Maybe there's something else happening that you don't know about. Pray for him. Prayer has power. Number two, keep trying to help him. I heard a story when Joyce Meyer said her father, who sexually abused her for many years, it took her till she was like 50 or 60 to forgive him. And it ruined her life, many boyfriends, many marriages, many mental anguishes that she had to go through. She finally forgave him, and she tried to help him at the end of his life. At the end of his life, she brought the sexual abuser home. The guy who raped her, she brought her home and gave her a room and was washing her and washing him and taking care of him. I'm like, wow. She honored him. There's something. See? There's something about a character of a man or a woman who honors, who is able to honor. Did you know if a person can honor you, if a person can honor their parents, they can honor you. If a friend honors other people, they will honor you. That's a good character trait. That's a highly valuable honor character trait. Number two, you pray. One is pray. Two, you keep trying to help them, even though it's difficult. I didn't have a bad father, so I'm not talking from experience, but I'm talking from people I've heard who've been through things, and honoring your father still helps you. Number three, model the love of Jesus to them. If you think about it, God is holy, and Jesus is perfect, and yet the great exchange happened on the cross. His perfect self was taken off him and put on the sinners. And all the filth, the worst that people do, was put on Jesus on the cross. And he was not ashamed to carry that. So meaning he knows the deepest, the filthiest, the dirtiest things of your life. Things you don't want to talk about with your spouse even. Things you don't want to let anybody know. He took that on himself and crucified that, punished that on the cross. He's not afraid. Model the love of Jesus. Number four, weep for him. Before the Lord on his behalf. Pray. Weep. Cry. Number five. Forgive your father. Forgive him. Forgiveness hurts you more than it hurts him. Unforgiveness hurts you more than it hurts him. And some of you, pastor, it's harder said than done. It always is. But listen, you have that power that lives in you now. If you're a believer, you can't say, well, it doesn't work for me. What are you saying? The grace of God is powerless in your life, but it's powerful in somebody else's life? Listen, everyone here has the same power. Dunamis, dynamite power. Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You're not weak. Who lied to you? You're not weak. If you have God inside of you, you can overcome anything. It is difficult. It is difficult to be betrayed by a friend. What about being betrayed by a father? It is difficult, but with grace of God that lives within us. Paul says, I have accomplished so much through the grace of God. Paul says, I was able to forgive myself for persecuting Christians because of the grace of God. Grace of God is not something weak. It's a bazooka that your enemy looks at and says, oh, I back away. But you have to realize what you have and who you are in Christ and who lives in you. And Paul says, no longer I live, but Christ lives within me. If Christ lives within you, if you don't live, Christ lives with you, what are you afraid of? Who is Jesus afraid of? He wasn't even afraid of the cross. That's a good question. And I said in the beginning, there's two ways to receive deliverance, right? One is through praying and laying of hands. Number two, well, it's not just you praying, it's people praying for you. Do you have an accountability? Do you have a church that supports you? I know you. I know who you are. And I know how hard you want to serve God. But something pulls you back, and so you need a support group. You need a new environment, sister. Amen? Because our environment will determine who we are. Sometimes Satan will make us hate good people in our life. Why? Because we will become like them. So he makes us jealous of them. He makes us angry and say, well, they're better. They dress better. They this and that. They smell better. And so Satan wants to separate us from God family. See, you got two families. You got family in the world over there. And you got this family here. And we want to be here for you. And we want to guide you through this process. There's two way of deliverance. There's praying. And that's what we're going to do right now. I usually don't take questions in my messages. This is one exception today only. And okay, we're going to pray for God to deliver you. Stretch your hands towards her right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come against those evil things. All those things that are from the past, God. And she's praying to you. Come on, ladies, put your hands on her right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke every thought, every imagination, every stronghold in Jesus' name. We command her to be set free. Hallelujah. You, Lord, you covered her. You paid for her all her sins, Father. Now restore her, God. I know that you already forgave her, God. Give her a new start, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we blow those hornets that comes against her mind in Jesus' name. Loose her. Set her free in Jesus' name. From addiction, set her free. You spirit of addiction, leave her in the name of Jesus. You spirit of alcoholism, any other addiction, free her. God, restore her mind. Restore her mind. Father, help her forget and forgive and forget and forgive, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, God, that it's done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I imagine this happened to Jesus when he was preaching. I mean, all the time. So it's don't get scared. Well, what's going on here? If you're here for the first time, it doesn't happen all the time. We're so glad you're here. But this is real. We all struggle. We all struggle with deep things. And we struggle with nightmares. And I've struggled with nightmares in my life as well until... it felt like I was always running in my dreams. And I got so tired of running. Every night I was running from police. I was running. And one day Holy Spirit says, just stop running. Just stop running. They have nothing on you. I washed you clean. They have nothing on you. It's just fear of the devil. And you know what? Next dream, I stopped running. And that was it. That was the last time. That was the last time I've seen that dream. Talking about fathers. Now, Louisa, you got to become a part of this family. You got to build new relationships. It's up to you now. We will be here for you. We will encourage you. We will pray with you, walk with you, till you come and become strong. Amen? So that means I want to see you in the next 6 months, not missing one Sunday, not missing one Wednesday. You need to be here. You need a new environment. You need a place, a new place to get joy. Okay, there's two places you can get joy. In the world, you can go and get drunk or high, you know, and that joy destroys you and hurts you. Or you can come here and get the joy of the Holy Spirit, a new wine. Bible says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with Spirit. It's tormenting to be not able to sleep. It's tormenting. This is not a small matter, people. This is huge. It's tormenting. If any of you are struggling with sleeping, in the name of Jesus, I blow. A prophet named Paul Jackson said this. God showed him a vision. And this is what I'm going to explain to you. I'm going to leave this message for a second. This is what he said. He had nightmares of demons coming every night. And one day he was in a little cabin in his dream. And his demons came like hornets and tried to attack him. And a voice said inside, blow on them with the power of the Holy Spirit. So blow on them. Blow on them. And he said, I blew on them. And they started running away. And they started running away and running away. And he said, any time after the dreams would come, he said, I would just blow through the power. See, you got Holy Spirit in you. Remember Jesus, when he was resurrected, he came to his disciples, blew on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Right? Now, there's nothing in my breath that's going to chase a demon away. It's a symbol. You're symbolically blowing and saying, you got to go. You can't. I'm a new creation. He who's in me is greater than he who's in the world. Did you have a brother, maybe older brother, when somebody was beating you up? You would go and say, I'm going to tell my brother. And if you don't stop doing this, I'm going to tell my brothers. Right? My brothers. And they would stop. Well, Jesus is our older brother. And so when Satan comes and terrorizes you, say, hey, I'm going to call on the name of Jesus if you don't stop. We're not weaklings, people. Yeah. On Wednesday, I told a story, and I want to repeat it. So before I end this message, this is a made-up story. Imagine that our nation was attacked by ISIS, Islamic State. And we know that ISIS are horrible organization, evil organization. They rape, they torture, they drill people's knees and pull people's nails out. They're evil organization. They cut people's, they decapitate people. You know that. We've seen it in the news. You saw the videos, right? Imagine you had to go to war and fight them. So you go to war, you get your gun, big rifle, you go after them. And one day you were surrounded by a lot of ISIS fighters and you have to surrender because you valued your life. And so one of them came to you, grabbed his rifle, and just knocked you out with his rifle in your head. The next time you woke up, you were being dragged into this dark cave where there was tiny prison cells, 4x4, 6x4, tiny prison cells. You see, there's a lot of people there. They throw you in that prison, and there's this evil, huge guard, prison guard, and he is evil. He's not quiet. He's loud. He's yelling orders. He's commanding. And because you value your life, you do whatever he says. And you do things that you never thought you were capable of doing. Symbolically. Think about it symbolically. And so you spend a year doing and obeying this evil warlord that's over you. Who's abusive, verbally, physically. You're malnourished. You are thirsty. You are dirty. There's no showers ever. So it's been a year and you had no shower. It stinks in there. There's rats. There's all kinds of disease. You're in that prison. And one night, you wake up to gunfire. And the prison doors are open. And here is a person from your nation, from your country, coming and saying, get up. We're freeing you. Get up, we're freeing you. And so you get up, and you say, what do I do? He says, well, the war is not over. We got to go, because this ugly guard is going to come back. And so he gives you a gun and says, come on, we got to go. The war is not over. The war is not over. So you grab a gun, and you go, and you escape. But the enemy doesn't quit. How many of you know, although we've been set free, the enemy doesn't quit. Although you renounce sin, sin didn't renounce you. Okay? And so this warlord starts chasing you. And so here you are. You're behind this fort and he's behind that fort. And he's yelling. And he's yelling things that he used to yell to you in prison. And suddenly you want to obey him again. But hold it. You're not his prisoner anymore. How many of you ever been in prison? Don't raise your hand. In prison, you have to submit to the guard. But when you get out of prison, how many of you know if you see a guard on the street and he tells you, hey, you need to do what I say. Give me 15. Or wash the floor with the two. I don't know, whatever. You say, no, I don't have to do that. I don't have to do that. Why? Because I'm on a different standing. I used to be your slave. See, when we were without Jesus, that's us in prison. We used to be the slave of sin and death. But now that we are set free, plus we have a big 50 caliber in our hand, that's the power of grace and the Holy Spirit. We got Jesus living in us. We don't have to obey sin anymore. Although that guard, the enemy, will try to come in and talk to you in your mind and say, hey, you need to do what I say. You say, hold on, buddy. I'm no longer under your authority. I'm no longer, you have no longer any power over me. Besides, here's the proof. If you come any closer, I'm going to blow. I'm going to push this little trigger right here. It's going to do a lot of damage. You see what I mean? When we were away from Christ, we were prisoners, Bible says. That's why he came to set the captives free. But now that we are free, because whose son sets free is free indeed, although the voice of the enemy still comes and says, hey, you need to do what I say, you need to say no. I have a different standing. I am not the slave. I'm not the prisoner. I don't have to do what you say. I'm a new creation. He who lives in me is greater than who lives in the world. If you don't know this Jesus, today I want to give you an opportunity to know him, to give your life to him. And I'm hoping next Sunday you come back for the rest of this honor message, because this is good. But God had a different plan for today. God had a whole new thing. And I'd rather move how he moves. Amen. Amen. If you don't know Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to him. At 19, I gave my life to Jesus. The best thing that ever happened to me. What I have today, my family that I have today, is because of that. I was dating this girl, and she'd been divorced like, I don't know, 3 times. And I could have ended up with her because she was hot. And I would have been the first one. She even left her kids the last time I heard. And now she's running around without her kids. Why? Because I gave my life to Jesus. Everything changed. When you give your life to Jesus, he will take the mess that we created out of our life, that our parents influenced and our friends influenced in our life, and he will make it into a message. God takes a book that's ripped off and pages everywhere. That's our life. And he starts putting things in order. Page 1, page 2, page 3. He begins to restore. One of the things that God loves to do is not to punish sinners. He loves to restore sinners. That's the one thing that a lot of unbelievers don't know about God. That God is not about punishing. God is about restoring. God is about taking you from the mire, from the pit, from the mud, and putting you on high ground. So he can show you off. And he sparkles you and says, I'm going to make you a city on a hill. I'm going to make you light to the nations. That's our God. That's what he loves to do. So don't be afraid to give your life to Jesus, because you, trust me, we make a mess out of our life. But Jesus comes in and he makes it better. I know that. I'm a witness. I'm a witness of that. Hallelujah. I want you to close your eyes and bow your head right now. If you don't know Jesus, if he's not the Lord of your life, I'm going to count to three. And on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand and raise it high. I'm not going to embarrass you and make you do something, run around or come to the front. Right where you are, everyone's eyes are closed. This is a private moment between you and Jesus. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. He will leave the 99 and will go after you, after one, to save you. That's how much he loves you. He's not here to punish you. He hasn't been punishing you. He's here to save you and restore you to the place where he ordained you to be. If you used to be a Christian, but you kind of backslid and now you don't know where you stand, on a count of three, please raise your hand and raise it high. If you never gave your life to Jesus and today you heard the message and you know that Jesus is real, he loves you, and you want to say, Jesus, come into my heart. I'm going to count to three. He wants to come in and save you, transform you, give you new life, new joy, and give you eternity with him in heaven, which is a bonus. That's like the far thing. I'm going to count to three. One, two, Three, please raise your hand and raise it high. One hand, two hands, three hands, four hands, five hands, six hands. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Now boldly repeat after me. Say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for coming to this world because you loved me so much. From this day on, I make a declaration that you are my Lord and you're my Savior. I confess you as my Lord, and there will be no other. Father, use me, change me, give me a new purpose in life that's eternal, that will last forever. In Jesus' name, I thank you that I'm saved. I'm forgiven. My past is forgiven. My present is forgiven. And my future is forgiven. In Jesus' name, I have new life in Christ. Amen. Clap your hands and bless God.